Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the show that gives you the opportunity to pick up the phone, give us a call, ask that question that's been keeping you up at night, and you're under no obligation. Nobody's going to know who you are. You can use a fake name. You just call in, ask your question, and we will try to give you an answer. Pick up the phone and call us at 503-417-9595 or toll-free 877-733-1011 for you podcast listeners. And incidentally, our show, if you miss a show, you can catch it on iTunes, you can catch it on iHeartRadio, and also on our website at pfgwm.com or investingsimplifiedradio.com, you can catch all previous shows. In studio with me today, this morning, is Kevin Stege with the Baker Colson CPA Firm.
Hello, Chuck. Good to be here.
Good morning, Kevin. Are you all set for the, are you all done with taxes and are you still having a few hangovers?
Oh, we're still having a few hangovers. That all those guys that got extended, they got extended for a reason. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in that category.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And how high are the interest penalties now with the IRS?
I think interest is running about 4% or 5%. So, not something you want to do if you're making 0.1 at the bank.
Yeah, but back in the old days, it used to be a lot higher.
Yeah.
It was really high.
Yeah, 6, 7, 8%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to jump right into the market because if you've been watching the market, you know we've had a very volatile market. It's been going up. It's been going down. And actually, on the long-term basis, we're kind of dragging backwards a little bit here. And I think the economy has picked up. We all know the story about the lowest unemployment in over 40 years. That's great news. We got the economy going. But I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but when I drive down the road and I see those tents of homeless people on the side of the road, it makes me sick. It makes me sick that we're screaming and hollering about immigration when we got something like 13 million Americans right now living on the street homeless. And I know some people that run a homeless shelter, and they've told me stories about women that have come in and had babies and actually head back out on the street with those babies. And I think, you know, we do have rights as American citizens. We have a constitution. We have to follow those rights. But I think society owes it to some people who may not have the mental capacity to understand they need to be in shelter and to understand they need to have care, particularly if there's kids involved. And I think at some point as a society, we need to say to those people, we're going to incarcerate you. We're going to take you off the street for your protection, and we're going to make sure you get the right care and your children get proper care. We're not doing that. We're not doing that to Americans here in this country. And every time I drive down 205, I got to tell you, it makes me sick. It really does. I see those people living in tents. See people urinating on the side of the street. I mean, I got to tell you, that can't be healthy. It can't be healthy for us.
Yeah. You know, for the most part, the homeless problem, if you will, isn't a choice that people are making. For the most part, it's fallout from drugs and alcohol. It's not the full case, but a vast majority of what's going on with homelessness is the inability to make good decisions as fallout from that, permanent damage. And
yeah.
So, anyway, there's a lot of places to start to try to address that, but it's still difficult.
Yeah, it's an area that we need to solve as a community and as a country. Well, listen, we're going to talk about some investing here. I got a call. Henry's got a question about RMD, in-kind. Oh, one of my favorite subjects. Henry, are you there?
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Like I told the screener, I haven't called for a while, but I've been listening. And last week you talked about in kind. And so I called my mutual fund company. Well, it's not my company. I wish it was, but it's not my company. And it's Vanguard. And they said I had to use a form. So they emailed me the form. And then so I can take any of the stocks, which you already told me is a mistake to have in the IRA because of the basis situation. And we won't go there right now. But so I pick a stock that is equal or greater than what I owe as an RMD. And so I've got that in mind to do. And then the tax situation. And I'll owe probably, let's just make it round numbers, $2,300 in income tax on that money at 15%. First, I'd like to know if 15% would be adequate. I'm in the 25% bracket. As far as income taxes, but when I did that a couple of years ago, I ended up with a huge refund, and I'd rather not have that situation.
Well, are you looking at the new tax table or the old tax table?
Well, I don't have any tax table in front of me, but oh, you mean what it would be with a new situation?
Yeah, well,
like 25%.
Up to about $250,000, you're going to get a tax break on federal income tax. So you probably are going to get a nice little break on taxes, and most people that used to be in the 15 are going to be in the 12. And the new starting tax is 10, which it used to be at 15. So most people are going to get a little tax break.
I'm 25, Chuck.
You're 25.
That's right, last okay. year.
And that's down to 22% then for 2018.
Yeah. So if you were at 25 last year, you'll be in a 22 this year. So that's 3%.
What percentage
difference
would you recommend I use to give to the government as soon as I take this RMD?
Yeah, that's a. I would lean toward the higher end of your tax bracket there. But I'd have to see your full tax return and, you know,
sure.
see your deductions and all that. But
sure.
if you end up, the majority of your income, if it ends up in the 22% bracket, then you're probably going to want to be somewhere around 20%, 22%. I'm not sure why you got the big refund. You might have had some credits or something that lowered the ultimate tax bill.
You know, Henry, one of the things you're bringing up a point, and I want to make sure our listeners get this, because one of the things and you're exactly right, I do recommend if you have stock in an IRA, which I don't recommend doing to start with, but if you do, then I recommend taking your RMD, if you have good stocks, especially high dividend paying stocks, take that stock out as your RMD, but always take the full RMD in stock. And if you have to round up a little bit and take an extra share or two, then do that and take just a little bit more. But always pay the tax out of other money, not out of the IRA money.
Correct.
Okay, good.
They told me since I'm over 70 and a half, I'm not allowed to contribute any of my money from my, let's say, my checking account or wherever, back into my IRA to pay the taxes. I'd have to I'd have to sell more shares or
right. So
But my point is like you and I have discussed before. My point is, don't do that. Have the tax money outside of the IRA to pay.
In other words, don't have any withholding done.
Absolutely. And don't have any withholding done from Vanguard or wherever you have the funds.
And then just pay
the... Okay, so here's my question about that. If I pay that out of my wife's and my funds, out of our checking account, and we do an estimated tax form, which is, I think is the way to send that to the IRS, unless you tell me differently to ask my accountant about... would I use the September 15th?
That's correct.
Form because we've already passed April and June.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yep. And a lot of folks, this is the way things are going, and I'll have a little bit more on this in my segment. But a lot of folks are going online and setting up their accounts with IRS and Oregon Department of Revenue and paying online. And that kind of documents the date that it's paid. That always makes a difference, even though you're using a 915 form for the third quarter. The date that it's paid could make a difference in penalty calculations down the road. But very simple way to make your payments. You're not mailing stuff. Oregon has a great online portal for its taxpayers.
I'm a Washington resident.
There you go. Okay, very good. I should have known that, Henry.
I'm sure there's lots of Oregon listeners as well, but
I should have known that, Henry. You've called enough. but yes, you can use that third quarter coupon or go online with the IRS and make your payment online also. Very, very convenient way. Another thing that people are doing, I started doing this, is just like you can have a direct deposit of a refund, you can have direct debit of any of your payments. Your balance due, your extension payment, and your future quarterly estimates. If you have the right tax program or preparer, I'm not sure if TurboTax does it, but very convenient way.
I don't use TurboTax, no.
Okay, that's right. You have an accountant.
And the reason I don't is that in 1979, I did my own taxes, and I got audited for that year.
Ah, yeah.
So that said, no, Henry, get out of this game. Let the professionals deal with it. And I've not done it myself ever since.
Good call.
Although I've got a pretty good handle on it, I think. But with the new tax law, of course. I also used one other thing that your listeners might be interested in, and that is for charitable contributions. I had Vanguard send me some checks that I ordered, made out to X, Y, and Z charities. And according to my accountant, when I gave her the information, it could save up to $2,000 in income tax.
Excellent. Absolutely. That is, it's anybody that has an RMD that's charitably minded should go through their IRA to pay the charities instead of paying them directly. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Great. Thanks, Henry. We've got another caller on the line. We've got Lee has got a question about a RMD distribution. Lee?
Yeah, Chuck. A quick follow-up question. Sorry, I keep calling your show every week, but you guys just have too much good information.
Well, thank you.
You said don't take... my father has had to take... He's 89 years old. He's got to take required minimum distributions from his IRA. And I heard you say, don't take the money out of the IRA to pay the tax portion. But I thought, say he has to take out a $25,000 required minimum distribution, and that comes out. And then of that, he's going to have to pay a certain amount of taxes. So am I correctly hearing you say that, oh, no, take out a lesser amount that doesn't include the taxes and then take that tax money from, say, money in a regular old account?
Okay, there's a difference, Lee. We were talking about taking stock out of your IRA or your 401k in kind. So you take the stock position, move it from a taxable event to a non-taxable event, and so you can move as much stock out of that 401k or your IRA as you can and then pay the taxes outside of the plan. But in your dad's case...
You're not cashing out the rest of the stocks then.
Right, right.
Okay,
but,
got it.
But if you're actually just taking an RMD and you don't have stock, you just have mutual funds or you have other investments, I would always have the taxes taken out of the distribution unless you got the other money to do it.
Okay. All right. Yep. Got it.
Good
Thank
question.
You very much.
Good question, though. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the tax investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. And if you want to join the conversation, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595. Or for podcast listeners and people on the internet, listen at 877-733-1011. We'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we, again, welcome your calls, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. And today on the Tax Investigator, we'll talk about just a variety of small topics, nothing real exciting. I did want to talk a little bit about, I've been watching closely the federal reaction to the states that are trying to pass workarounds for that limitation on the state tax deductions. It's capped at $10,000 now. And so states that have high income taxes and real estate taxes, that's going to basically make those taxpayers get back in line with the rest of everybody else across the nation. For example, if you were in Oregon and you were paying $20,000 in state and federal income taxes, you got to deduct that full amount. Say you made $100,000 and you deducted $20,000. Say you made $200,000 and you deducted $20,000 on your taxes. That same person making $200,000 in Washington didn't have that same tax deduction on their federal return. So the Washington person, exact same income on the federal level, but the Washington person paid more federal income taxes. So this is going to level the playing field. And so, of course, the states with high income taxes are like, hey, how can we help our taxpayers? And so they've come up with a number.
Lower their taxes.
that couldn't
be. Spend the money more wisely.
That couldn't possibly be.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been a mainly two different ways to try to the states have been coming up with to try to lower or get around this limitation. And it's mainly New York, New Jersey, California, Connecticut. those are the ones who are doing most of the moving and shaking here. And some of the smaller states like Oregon, we're kind of watching to see what happens and maybe tag along. But in general, I don't think there's going to be a successful workaround. The feds are basically saying, you know what, you can do whatever you want with your state programs, your state tax credits, this and that, but you're not going to tell us how you expenses and things are going to be deductible on the federal return. It's kind of like looking over at your neighbors and telling them what color flowers they should be putting in. It's just not your jurisdiction. So the feds are saying, we're not going to let that happen. So we'll stay tuned.
Okay, we got a quick caller here. We got Gilbert's got a question about death in the family tax. Are you there, Gilbert?
Hello. My wife passed away this month, and
oh, sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only income she had was her Social Security. When I do my taxes for this year, how do I claim her on the income tax? That, you know, she passed away like half the year's over, and she's not going to, you know, she made an income up to this point with her Social Security, but that's all she had.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what would be the step at this point now when I do my taxes at the end of the year.
Okay, well, it should be a pretty straightforward filing for you, Gilbert. She's treated as if she lived the whole year, and you'll still file a joint return with her. You'll obviously be the only one to sign as the surviving spouse, and you'll get her Social Security 1099. That'll report her 5 or 6 months of Social Security that she did receive. And it should be pretty much the same as filing a joint return. Well, it'll still be a joint return, but as if she were had lived out the year.
Okay. Okay, I wasn't sure, you know, what would happen at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gilbert, how old are you?
71.
Okay, so you're drawing Social Security already.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're sorry to hear that, and our prayers are with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Right.
You know, that is always a problem. You know, when somebody passes away, you still have to go and file the income tax for that year. If they pass away in January or they pass away in December, you still got to do the filing for that tax year.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, when it's a first spouse to pass away, there's not much change at all. Usually when a second person passes away, then, and there's a non-spouse who's filing, then there's some other forms that need to go in and different things happen. And it's much more complicated, unfortunately. But in Gilbert's case, he shouldn't have too much change in his filing setup. There's not a lot of additional deductions, funeral expenses. Those things aren't deductible. So, yeah. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about and this is we haven't chatted about this yet, Chuck, but I think we'll be probably talking with our clients. I know Carl will have the same situation, but one of the key changes in the new tax law is the elimination of the 2% miscellaneous deductions on your Schedule A. So first off, you had to have been an itemizer to take advantage of the items that go there. And then second, all of those expenses would have to exceed 2% of your adjusted gross income for you to get a deduction on them. Some of the expenses that are on there that are being eliminated, some taxpayers are just going to get just nailed with that. There's a lot of unreimbursed employee expenses that people take. Their work expects them to, you know, they give them an extra compensation and then expect them to spend a bunch of that, like traveling salesmen, different things like that. And that section's going away. So hopefully those type of people are addressing that situation with their employers or what have you. I think airline pilots, a lot of times, you know, they're employees, but they have a lot of travel costs when they're having to stay somewhere and depending on how that's reimbursed and their setup. But particular with our clients, some other expenses that are in there are tax prep fees, attorney fees for taxable income type items, and also advisor fees. And since this is a detailed topic, I'm going to come back to it before we get too much into it, because I understand we have a caller.
Yeah, we've got David on the line. He's got a question about transferring of deferred comp account. David?
Hi. I'm on the road, so forgive me if the road noise is too loud. I'm hands-free, but I have a question. My wife retired from her job and had a deferred comp account, and I want to know, we have three banks that we use, and we're trying to consolidate our accounts as we both start to face retirement, and I want to know if transfer of that funds to another account is a taxable event. Now, she wasn't taxed on this amount to begin with, so when we do start drawing from it at some point, I know that's taxable, but I want to know if moving an account is a taxable event.
Well, okay, I'm going to say yes and no. If you do it the right way, no. If you do it the wrong way, yes.
Okay.
It's very important that you transfer that or roll that over directly into a qualified retirement account, and that deferred comp can be moved tax-free into an IRA account with no tax liability, but it's got to be done correctly. So if you're consolidating with your bank, I'd go to the bank, take them your deferred comp statement. They should be able to do the transfer for you and help you do that transfer.
Okay.
Yeah, we do this for people all the time.
That's what I want to know.
So. Yeah, and just make sure you do it correctly, and there's no tax liability.
Okay, do I have time for one more question?
Sure.
Okay, I'm about 18 months from my retirement, and I have a 401k. I own my business. We're going to close our business, and so my 401k program will probably be gone since I'm the primary contributor. I want to be able to move that too. Is that a similar sort of outcome, or
absolutely? It's exactly the same. You could take that 401k and roll it over into an IRA account.
Okay.
Yep. And that's a smart move to do, by the way.
Okay. Right. So we have everything kind of managed a little bit together.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much.
Great. Great. Good questions. Drive safely.
Thank you.
Speaking about that, I'm going to say this because the holidays coming up, this coming week is the 4th of July, and I want to just say to everybody out there, there's a reason to celebrate this great country that we live in, and I'm just so blessed that I live here, and I'm thankful that I grew up in America. But I got to tell you, people do celebrate, and so I would caution everybody out there to be a little careful and to drive a little defensive, because there's some people get out on the road and they tend to drink or raise cane. And so be careful out there when you're driving, and watch out, because they're saying we're going to have a record number of people on the road. So just be careful and come back next week and call us and stay here. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Investing Simplified, the longest running financial show in America, with a financial advisor, CPA, and estate planning attorney to answer your questions for free. We'll be right back.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
All right, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we will continue on with the tax investigator and talking about advisor fees, tax prep fees, attorney fees. How can you get a deduction for those now that that section is gone? Well, first off, I'll talk in the area that I know best, and regarding the tax prep fees, basically you drop those on your Schedule A, and they didn't they rarely were enough to exceed 2% of your income. I think if we were charging our clients over 2% of their income to prepare their taxes, they'd either have a very complicated situation with low taxable income, or they'd be looking somewhere else to go. So so what can you do now? Well, your preparer or yourself should allocate those costs to, if you have rentals, allocate those costs to your Schedule E's, your rentals. If you have a small business, a Schedule C, allocate the costs there. And try to put it on another form where it could be deductible. If all you have is Social Security and retirement income, then you probably don't have a place to take it, and your tax prep fees are going to be out. Attorney fees, probably very similar. If the attorney work is for rental stuff, then absolutely get it on the rental forms. If it's on your small business, absolutely. If it's regarding, you know, income from a settlement or something that's taxable, you probably,
or your estate plan.
Yeah. It's some of that might be lost.
Be.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then advisor fees, you know, here's a sneaky planning opportunity is, and this is, there's been a lot of thought back and forth on this, especially the advice in prior years, for advisor fees was, okay, don't have your IRA pay those fees. You pay them out of your own money, and then you'd get to deduct them on your Schedule A 2%. I was never a huge fan of that, just from the narrow tax perspective. There's other reasons to do that, but from the narrow tax perspective, you're limiting that deduction to 2%, and you may not even be itemizing. I've always been a fan of having your IRA pay those fees, because that's a guaranteed deduction from ordinary income in the future. And yeah, people are saying, well, now you're reducing your ability to compound the earnings on your IRA, but now you have more in your regular brokerage account that's probably getting capital gain treatment. So pay, if you can, structure it, have those advisor fees paid directly out of your IRA. That way you're escaping the whole Schedule A 2%, which isn't there anymore, and you don't have to take that income out in the future. You know, say you had $100,000 and you paid 1,000 advisory fees. Now you have $99,000 that you have to draw out in the future. So it's a guaranteed deduction. So anyway.
Yeah, because eventually if it's a retirement account at 70 and a half, you're going to start taking money.
Exactly right.
So, you know, speaking about retirement accounts, I got a little letter that I'm going to be sending out to all of our clients and people who do the newsletter, but it's kind of going back to basics about retirement planning. And we think there are some seven basic things that you need to know about, you know, planning for your retirement. In certain ages, there are certain things that happen. Like, for example, at age 55 is the first time you could take money out of your 401k or retirement account without our 401k without getting the 10% penalty or the IRA. Of course, you have to do it under certain circumstances. But to me, the other big thing about 55 is that in most 401k plans, you can do what's called an in-service transfer, which you can move the money out of that plan, out of that 401k, maybe over into something that's more managed, more specific to your needs than you have offered through the 401k. So those are things you want to look at. The next one is age 59 and a half. Most of us know exactly what that is. That's age 59 and a half is when that 10% penalty goes away. And you can take money out of your retirement account, either your IRA or your 401k, without paying a 10% penalty. Then the other ones come up for retirement planning age 62. What do you think age 62 is for, Kevin?
Let me think about that for a second. Social Security?
There you go. Right on the button. Absolutely. That's the first time you could take Social Security. Now, understand, if you take it at 62, you're taking a discount for the rest of your life. Because once you take it, you're there. Age 65. What happens at age 65? Well, there's a little thing called Medicare. And you've got to sign up for it, folks. No matter what, even if you're covered under a group plan, you still have to sign up for it. If you don't, you could get penalties. So always sign up for Medicare. And just a little tip, if you're signing up for Medicare and Social Security, always do it in advance. Particularly if you're going to do your Social Security, always do it at least 90 days in advance from when you want to start taking it, because it'll take about that long to get it through. So that way you get your payment and you don't run out of money if you're retiring, you're leaving a paying job to get your Social Security, then it stays in continuity. Otherwise, you could have a three-month period there where you might not get the money. Now, they'll pay it back to you, but you may not get it. The next one is age 66 to 67. Those are people who were born before 1943 and 1959, reached their full retirement account at age 66. For those born in 60 or later, it's age 67. So just a simple thing there. Baby boomers are still getting nose breaks, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, what is full retirement age? Well, here's how it breaks out, folks. Very simple technology. It's 60, and we're going to go from 62. 62, you're getting a 30% discount. 63, 25%, 64, 20, 65, 13.33, and 66, 6.7%. So at 67, no reduction in your Social Security benefit. So now if you want to get the actual full benefit, you go out to age 70. And at 70 and a half, what happens, Kevin?
RMD.
RMD, required minimum distribution. You don't want to mess up on a required minimum distribution because there is still a 50% tax penalty plus income tax. It is probably, Kevin, I can't think of another tax penalty that's more severe than that. Can you?
No, they're very serious about that. Yes, I can. And that would be if you're hiding money offshore in a Swiss bank account.
Let's talk about legal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But yes, that's very steep. Fortunately, if there is reasonable cause, they're very lenient, but it has to be corrected when you find out about it, and it has to you have to follow certain procedures, and you can even self-certify, if you will. That's maybe not the right word, but you can make the correction soon, but make sure you do it.
Yeah, we've had that happen before, yeah. And we've copped the plea, and the IRS has been very good to work with on it, because sometimes there's mitigating circumstances, sometimes a death in the family, sometimes things happen, RMDs don't get taken, and the government, I will say this about the IRS, lately they have been very, very understanding on those kind of things, as long as you're telling them the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
And, they have been.
But it's just extra work and scrutiny that don't go through it if you don't have to.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're getting to be 70 and a half, you want to make darn sure you talk to your financial advisor or your bank or your wherever you have your retirement money at. Make sure you talk to them about doing the proper RMDs.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chuck, you've dovetailed perfectly in with something I wanted to kind of talk with you about and ask you, and it's regarding when to take your Social Security benefits in combination to what your RMD is going to be from your IRA accounts. And basically, for example, there's kind of two very different trains of thoughts, and it may fit different taxpayers differently. And one situation would be the way a taxpayer wants to go, and another situation completely opposite is the way another taxpayer wants to go. But here's two scenarios. One scenario is you start your Social Security at age 62 and you don't take your RMDs until you have to at age 70 and a half. The benefit to that is you've got 8 years of Social Security that, depending on your other income, may completely escape taxation. If you're one of the three Americans that Social Security is the vast majority of your retirement income, then you've just earned 8 years of Social Security and you haven't lost hardly anything to taxes because you've delayed taking IRA money until you have to. The flip side would be, okay, age 62, let's not take Social Security. Let's take as much, let's live off of our IRA and take as much out as we have to.
So you're assuming the person is not able to work past 62. They're gonna retire and not work.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I'm kind of using 62 as the because that's when this could be a consideration, because Social Security would start then. So in the second scenario, you take as much, you live off your IRA, and then you let your Social Security grow. Then when you start taking it at 70, you've reduced your IRA balance, so your RMDs are less, so you're not having to take as much out, and possibly less of your Social Security would be taxable then. So anyway, some things to consider.
Yeah, and Kevin, what we try to talk to our clients, and sometimes we're not able to because they have pretty high income when they're
right.
in their 60s, but when a client gets to 59 and a half, what we try to set up with our clients is we try to set up a starting to take their IRAs and converting them to Roths. If we can, without pushing them into a real high tax bracket, because that way you can work, and hopefully by the time you get to 70 and a half and you take out Social Security, you've got all this IRA money that's now tax-free.
That's right.
And that's a beautiful thing. We
yep.
have clients who have hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax-free money right now, and thankfully, the government's allowed the Roth to continue, and I hope they always will, because those people that sacrificed and paid the taxes are really reaping the rewards right now.
Very true. Very true.
And I can tell you, if we ever have another setback like we had in 2008, that is probably one of the greatest times in our history, that and in 2000, to convert your money at discounted dollars from an IRA to a Roth, because you ended up in a market that was down 50%. It did take 5.5 years to come back, but if you had converted that money at the lower bracket, 50%, you basically did that for free. That's something to think about. Well, listen, if you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, because we're here to answer your questions. 503-417-9595. Toll-free 877-733-1011. By the way, I've got four books. If you want any of the books, you can stop by the office, pick them up for free. You don't have to schedule an appointment. You don't have to do anything. Peace of Mind Planning by Rocky DeFrancisco, J.D. Top 10 IRA Mistakes by David Royer. Two of my favorite books, Investing Simplified, my book. And the other book, and Kevin's in there as well. The other book is Your Retirement Made Simple. This folks, is a collaboration of myself and three other financial advisors throughout the country. And you can get this book. It's a number one bestseller on Amazon. And if you stop by our office, we'll give it to you for free. And no obligation. Just stop by, pick it up. The only thing I ask, if you get these free books, is read them and pass the knowledge on to somebody else. Give it to somebody else to read. So we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary. And without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. Just another quick note. I mentioned about the four books. If you call our office, stop by, pick up the books, no obligation. You can have the books. Also, I want to recommend we've made some recent changes to our website, and I've added some more seminars on demand that you can go on there and actually look at. And in all honesty, some of them are pretty good. There's one, a five-minute solution. And you can take a look at your retirement situation in the comfort of your home. And then if you want to talk about it, that's great. If you don't, that's up to you too. But there's a lot of good information on our website right on the front page. If you go to the front page, just scroll down to the bottom. We have about four or five different things you can go on there and do and look at and learn. And knowledge is power, because what you don't know can hurt you.
That's right.
Wouldn't you say so, Kevin?
That's right.
So I highly recommend you take a look at that and pick up some knowledge, because that's at the end of the day, what you know, if you're working with an advisor, I would be asking all the questions that you want to understand exactly what you're investing in and why you're investing in it. And what is the strategy?
I think the clients that get the most bang for their buck with me are the ones who are fairly well informed and organized. Those are two characteristics that really, I think, create a good working relationship. Number one, I'm not spending a lot of time with organizing their material or trying to chase down basic numbers or ask for stuff that they know that they should have. And then number two, based on what you're saying there, Chuck, being informed really gets us to, instead of being at a basic level of talking about how the taxes work, if we can get further down and deeper, we can address more complex tax situations that could really benefit them.
Well, you know, and we got Stan on the line, and he's got a question about that.
Okay.
Stan, are you there?
Yes.
And your question is?
I've got a question. I'm turning 65 in October, and my wife she's a year behind me, but she just retired too from her job, and I'm retired. We both are going to get pensions. Not going to take until we're 65 because of penalties incurred before that. And I'm just thinking about taking my Social Security. I've got to get on Medicare too here quickly because of 65 in October. So my question is, you talked about this deferment of your, you can take Social Security if your income is below a certain amount for taxable reasons.
Well, if you take Social Security between 62 and 66, you have an income earnings of $15,000, and then you have to trade $2 for every $1 to give back to Social Security.
Yeah. I'll have no income or earnings. I mean, I have rentals, but that's not earned income, right?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Here's
two reasons. In your case, maybe you would take your Social Security, and maybe you wouldn't take your Social Security. Number one, with the pensions you're going to get and the rental income, do you have enough income to live and do what you want to do?
Touch and go there, I think. But, my health is not the best. And, everybody talks about living to 85 or 90 and all that, but that's probably not in my cards.
Well, then I would immediately take your Social Security.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Immediately take it. I would get it started as soon as possible. That's the two things we look at, longevity and earnings. If you're not going to have the longevity, we say take that Social Security as soon as you can, because once it's gone, it's gone.
Right.
There's no cash transfer there. Kevin?
Yep. Once you're gone, it's gone.
Yeah. Once you're gone, it's gone. Yeah. So take that if you have longevity. The other is the income. If you need the income, you take it. Because, listen, at the end of the day, that's our money that we paid into Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not free. We had to pay for it.
You betcha. And so I have to go down there and get this all set up, right? I mean, I can't do it by the internet or something.
Actually, I got to tell you, I've done a lot of work with Social Security, and you can set it up right on the phone if you want, or you can go down in person. If everything's in order, you can usually do it right on the phone. Sometimes there's a difference in your birth certificate or something, you may have to go down and see them. But most people can do it right on the phone.
And as far as Medicare goes, doesn't that come directly out of your Social Security account?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I didn't take Social Security, how would that get paid for, the Medicare part of it?
Well, you would end up paying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if you have a group insurance, a lot of people stay on their group plan until they totally retire, and then they go on to Medicare. But you still have to apply for it, even though you're not going to use it.
I see. I do have an opportunity to go on my group plan for Medicare, actually, and so. But again, I have to pay Part A and Part B to directly. That's for the supplemental I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. A lot of companies have that, and sometimes it's a really good deal, so you want to check the cost.
Okay. Great. Hey, thanks for your help there.
Great. Great. Good luck. Hope things work out for you.
Okay.
We've got another caller on the line. Carla's got a question about claiming taxes. Carla?
Yes, hello. I had a question about our taxes for next year when all the changes are going to take place. We have our taxes done professionally every year, and I was just wondering if we can still claim that next year.
Claim what? The tax prep fees or the income taxes you pay?
The tax prep fees.
Oh, okay.
The tax fees. Yes.
Yes. It's not going to be a Schedule A itemized deduction. It'll have to go on another form, or you won't be able to take it. It'll have to be deducted on a rental form or a Schedule C, like a business, but there's not going to be a place for it on your itemized deductions.
So unless we have rentals or something else, we won't be able to claim that fee.
Exactly right.
Because the problem is, my husband used to do our taxes, and then when we got investments, we started investing and, got an investment counselor and everything, he was very confused about how to do that, and he would still like to do it, but he still doesn't understand how the professional does that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there's any way we can learn how to do that so we could do it ourselves since we've just retired.
Well, it's getting it, going through, it would probably be something like TurboTax that you would be using, and you'd have to know how capital gains, and sometimes there's foreign tax credits. There's some time, and just taking the time to read the instructions is probably going to be the best way to do it. I actually toyed with them. A YouTube channel with basic tax prep type stuff, but I let that die 10 seconds into the thought. But
okay.
It does take some time. It's hard to say. On the back of the instructions, they give an amount of time that you can use to learn these things, and it takes a while.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully that answers your question. Thanks, Carla. We're going to have to go. The clock is beating us here, so thank you. Listen, thanks to all of you that called in. You're the people that make this show run. Don't forget to turn in next Saturday to our show live. We're going to have Sherry McCants talking about investing in your health. And we're going to talk about investing in your health and investing in your wealth. So don't miss the show. And make sure you put it on your schedule to call us and ask a question. Everybody be careful out there. Have a great 4th of July. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.